Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And it is the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Wednesday we'll be out there. I'll be out there at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. And we'll have the show live for you from 3 to 5. The Eagles had a one-player draft. I don't care what they did, what else they did. You can sit there as an Eagle fan all you want. You can say to me, oh, well, they got this guy, they got that guy. No, if Carson Wentz doesn't work, all right, you've got a bad draft. If Carson Wentz does work, you've had an awesome draft. Pretty simple. It is that simple. The Steelers had an okay draft. No more than an okay draft. But Sean Davis was a great second-round selection. I thought that was terrific. You know, if the funny thing is, if they ended up getting Davis in the first round, which he was not a first-rounder, but if they got him in the first round, they get Burns in the second round, I'd be like, hey, they had a great draft. Well, guess what? They drafted Need. James Harrison announced today he's coming back for one more season at the age of 1,000. But that's fine. The NFL, because James Harrison is no more than a sub-package player now, but that's okay. The reason it's okay is the NFL defensively is now a sub-package league. In fact, offensively, it's a sub-package league. I mean, that's what the NFL is now. It's a sub-package league. That's why I was talking about Zeke Elliott the other day being drafted, that he's an every-down running back. Well, there aren't a lot of every-down running backs. I mean, you could sit there, Adrian Peterson this and Adrian Peterson that. Adrian Peterson is not an every-down running back. He's no better than a C to C-plus receiver, and he's a D as a blocker. And I might be generous on that. But I thought that the Steelers had a Need draft. They handled Need. They got Need. They did just fine. I'll tell you the team I thought did really well, and that was the Washington Redskins. This is the difference of having a pro's pro in charge of your organization in Scott McLuhan. Huge difference. Josh Doctson, excellent pick first round. Pierre Garçon, let's face it, there's only so far, I mean, you're going to be able to ride that horse. You're just not going to be able to ride it much further than that. And you need to get somebody on the other side of DeSean Jackson. They did that. I'll tell you, the steal that they got in the fifth round was Matt Ioannidis out of Temple. I think that is a steal and a half to get him in round five. Temple had two, as far as I'm concerned, Temple had two great defensive football players last year. Tyler Matakevich, who ended up going to the Steelers, by the way, in round seven. He's going to be interesting to watch. Matakevich knows how to play football. Really good instincts. And Matt Ioannidis, the defensive tackle. On Temple's defense, if you watch 9 Ioannidis and 8 Matakevich, you were watching their defensive football team. Really, really good. I thought that was a steal by the Redskins in round 5 of this draft. And then McLuhan made deals where he made 2017 a better draft for them. That impressed me because he bulked up on some picks in 17. I just think that he has done a really good job in a short period of time. Now let's look at the competitors for the Eagles in the division. I just mentioned what the Redskins did. The Redskins, I think, after this draft, are a better football team than they were before. I think the Cowboys, because of Zeke Elliott, are better. But the one saving grace out of all this is that, yeah, they drafted Dak Prescott, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm not ultimately high on him. Oh, and by the way, how many times did I say on this show in the last 3 years Christian Hackenberg would be selected before Connor Cook? Sean, how many times?
Several.
Over and over and over and over again. All right? And what's interesting, I'll get to the other side. Okay. If you notice going into the draft, who were the only three teams I mentioned for Hackenberg?
I mentioned
the Broncos late.
Broncos, Bills, and Jets. Yes.
Yes. All right. I only mentioned the Broncos late because I was on one of the shows and I could tell they were interested and they were going to draft a quarterback. The Bills and the Jets came directly from Christian when I was talking to him about this. And that was, you know, that was just direct. I said, who's shown the interest? And he says, Bills and Jets. He said they're the two that have been all. That's why I mentioned them as a distinct possibility. You can correct footwork. And if you give somebody some time, you can correct a couple of other things too. But the learning curve to play in this league is a big one. And Hackenberg has less than a learning curve than other guys in terms of the ability to play the spot. Changing plays at the line of scrimmage, changing protections, getting you into the, for the most part, getting you into the right play based on how they're lining up. Because he has been a student of the game, and for 3 years, whether it was Bill O'Brien's system, which has been universally praised, or James Franklin's system, they both had the same thing that you had to do pre-snap. Christian had to do all those things pre-snap that he's going to have to do in the NFL. Paxton Lynch, who, by the way, is a great prospect, and was the number 12 overall prospect on the Cowboys board, you know. And that's how high up the Cowboys had him rated. They had him number 12 on their board. But he's going to have to learn all that stuff, all of it, because he's never once taken a snap under center. He's never been in a huddle. He's never had to change a protection, change a play. He's never had to identify a blitz. And it's because that's the Memphis system. And again, it's not the Memphis coaching staff. It wasn't Fuente's job, who's now the head coach at Virginia Tech. It was not his job to train Paxton Lynch to be an NFL player. His job was to win games for Memphis. It's one of the great misnomers about this. Oh, they don't do a good job of preparing guys. So it's not your job to prepare them for the draft. It's your job to win games with what you got now. You start thinking that it's your job to prepare them to play in the NFL. If you're doing things right, they're on the path to getting to the NFL. If you're doing things the right way. But system-wise, I mean, for example, I mean, certain systems do not lend themselves to being NFL-ready. Well, Memphis happens to be one of them. Well, it's not Paxton Lynch's fault, and it's not Fuente's fault. It's not. Job is to do whatever it can, whatever system works for Memphis. But I thought the Redskins, and then the Cowboys did, but the Cowboys did not fulfill one need. They did not get an edge pass rusher. They did not get one of those in this draft. Now, the Giants got better. Eli Apple at corner, big-time pick. Sterling Shepard, that's their new Victor Cruz, big-time pick. Thought they did well. Most interesting pick of the draft to me, Cody Kessler. Third round of the Browns. Cody Kessler has a ton of talent and has the exact same issue Christian Hackenberg had, playing in a program with deep sanctions. Christian Hackenberg in 3 years was sacked 103 times. Cody Kessler was second in the same three-year span at 100. They both had to go through the same issues. There's only X amount of players you can recruit. You can't over-recruit on the offensive line because you can't afford to over-recruit. You can't pick up a couple of extra linemen that might develop for you. You can't do it. You don't have the numbers to do it. You got to spread the wealth over, you know, you have to spread the wealth over 17 other positions.
Sticking with the Cleveland Browns, your thoughts on Carl Nassib getting drafted on Friday night?
Well, Nassib was a great pick for them because he gives them an edge rusher.
Absolutely.
And they picked up another edge rusher in the draft as well. And so they picked up two edge rushers, which Cleveland needs desperately. They need to get more pressure on the quarterback. That's one way to make their secondary better. Nassib will do that, and they'll start out Nassib in a sub-package. They'll put Nassib out there on second and decent length and third and decent length. I mean, Nassib will be a sub-package player to start out in his career, I think. I thought Zettel getting picked was the happiest person. The happiest I was for was Kerry Zettel. With everything that's happened to that family in the past 6 months or 8 months, the fact that he got picked by Detroit and is going home, that choked me up a little bit. I think Austin Johnson's in a great spot. You know, great kind of defense to be in. We had Tony DeFazio on the show last week, and we're saying that Austin Johnson would be a great fit for the Steelers. Well, Tennessee runs that same thing, and Austin Johnson's a great fit for them. Jordan Lucas ended up in a great spot because it's more than the fact that Jordan Lucas played corner and safety here. It's the fact that Jordan Lucas also flipped inside in the sub package here and has played the nickel spot in his career. That's where he's going to start for Miami, in the sub package. That's where it's going to be. Terrell Barney ended up with the New York Jets. Trevor Williams ended up with the San Diego Chargers. Kyle Carter with the Minnesota Vikings. I have not heard at all about Angelo Mangiero. That's one I have not heard about. But I thought in this draft, I thought Jacksonville had a great draft. Jacksonville is building itself a football team. You know, they signed Malik Jackson from the Vikings. Fowler, who sat out all of last year. So they're going to get their first-round pick from a year ago playing this year. To go with Jalen Ramsey and everything else they did. They have already drafted Bortles. They already drafted Allen Robinson. They drafted Lee. They've drafted on the offensive line. Jacksonville is now finally poised to make a move. They have finally drafted themselves a football team. It took them 3 years, but Gus Bradley has himself a football team now. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. One of those young, fun teams to watch out there. I think Jacksonville did really well. I thought the Redskins did well, especially what they did with 17. And again, Scott McLuhan had what I call a pro's pro draft. The Steelers had an okay draft, but they drafted for need. And when you're in the position like the Steelers, who have the best offense in the NFL, they drafted need. And now they can rotate with James Harrison coming back. They can have a nice defensive end rotation, Bud Dupree and everybody else that they've got there that they can play there. So, I mean, and Harrison will be very good in the sub package for them. I thought the Steelers did fine. And getting Matakevich late, interesting. Connor Cook goes in the fourth round to the Raiders. We've talked about it how many times? Okay, you can't have the reputation of being the guy that takes a cab to the game while everybody else is on the bus. You can't have that rep. And that's his rep. You can't. So, there were a lot of really good picks. And you know what? I don't know what you thought as a Steeler fan. I have no dog in the hunt. But I know what the Steelers were looking for. And I felt like the Bengals in the first three rounds deliberately picked guys the Steelers wanted.
Oh, I completely agree. Especially opening round on Thursday night. Well, you and I were going back and forth on Friday night. I know you were singing the praises of Von Bell of Ohio State. Be a great pick for the Steelers to go in the second round, and but in lieu of them, they took Sean Davis, so it worked out there, at least for round
two. Sean Davis is an excellent pick. That is an excellent pick. He's going to be a really good player, I think, for the Steelers for the next 8-9 years. That was a really good pick. I think Burns is going to be fine. You know, that's why they got Davis. He'll be the one that when Burns misses the tackle, Davis will clean it up. All right, we'll come back. That's called balance. We'll come back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us. Steeler draft needs first two picks. Perfectly fine with. Matakevich was a nice pickup late. Eagles draft is one player and one player only. It's all hinging on the success of Carson Wentz. If he is terrific, the draft was awesome. If he's mediocre, the draft will be mediocre. You know, you can say, well, what about the other? No, this is all in terms of perception. It's all about that. Scott McLuhan, a pros pro draft for the Redskins. Ozzie Newsome, same thing, pros pro draft when it came to the Ravens. But the Giants draft was really good. I thought the Jets draft was good. The Giants' first two picks, Eli Apple, Sterling Shepard, big-time picks. And I thought the same thing. Darren Lee, as you know, how many times have I mentioned Sean? I thought that he was, to me, the top three players, the top four players in the Ohio State defense to me. Top four.
When we were going Bosa, through team by team last week, yeah, that was one I thought that the Jets could easily look at when they were picking in the first round. Yeah.
I thought Bosa, Bell, Apple, and Lee were the four best players, and I said that Lee was the best linebacker that Ohio State had. I voted Lee first team all Big Ten. I thought he was that good. And for 2 years, I've watched him, and you know, and I strongly encourage him. I said, "Time's now. Go ahead, you can leave for the draft." Yeah. So really good. Jacksonville had a great draft on paper. A lot of people say the Bears did. I'm like, okay, I suppose. But it's fun. A lot going on tonight, by the way. The Phillies are 15-10, people. 15-10. They've won six in a row and have not scored more than four runs in any of the six games. Has their pitching been great and their defense great or what?
Bring on the Cardinals. That's tonight.
They're 15-10.
Absolutely. I mean, manager of the year, Pete McKinnon, put your votes in.
No, this has been terrific. They have the same record as the Pirates. Yeah. Same record as the Pirates.
A lot of people expected the Pirates to be off to a sizzling start, but there's plenty of time. Plenty of time to make up for that.
Well, the Pirates are too good. So you're playing 600 ball, they're 15-10.
Yeah.
That's good. The problem is they're in the same division with the Cubs, but they get the Cubs tonight. Phillies tonight. 8:15 the start, which would be a 7:40 airtime here on WKOK. Boy, they're playing great. Imagine if they get some offense.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are very proud for the fifth straight year to be a part of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Heard Monty McDowell on earlier with Jennifer Wakeman at the bottom of the hour. And we'll be out there for the tournament. We'll be playing golf in the morning and then have the show in the afternoon from 3 to 5. So it is, for many people, it's the start of their golf year. You know, it's almost like they're masters when they get out there. Well, we're looking forward to it, and I think the weather's going to turn out to be nice. So it's going to be, I think, potentially another terrific day. It's the 25th annual event, and we thank the wonderful Purdy family and the entire organization of Purdy Insurance for the great work that they do to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. By the way, coming up this week on the show, Dick Girardi on the Kentucky Derby. That is all locked in, lined up, and set to go. Not bad. Let's see. Let's get to this day in sports history. 1920 in Indianapolis, the first game of the National Negro Baseball League was played. 1923, Walter Johnson pitched his 100th career shutout. Today, Clayton Kershaw throws a complete game shutout. ESPN does cartwheels. Look at this. Amazing. Sure it is. 1939, Lou Gehrig set a new major league record when he played in his 2,130th game. The streak began June 1st, 1925. 1954, the great Stan Musial, Donora, Pennsylvania's own, set a new major league record when he hit 5 home runs against the New York Giants in a doubleheader. I think Nate Colbert of the Padres tied that record a couple decades later. 1958, the New York Yankees threatened to broadcast games nationwide if the National League went ahead with their plans to broadcast their games into New York. 1970, Diane Crump became the first female jockey to ride in the Kentucky Derby. 1988, the Orioles signed a 15-year lease to remain in Baltimore and get a new park, which turned out to be the incredible Oriole Park at Camden Yards. 1988, Pete Rose of the Reds suspended for 30 games for pushing an umpire as the manager of the Reds. He had bigger troubles later. 2002, Mike Cameron with the Seattle Mariners hit 4 home runs in a game against the White Sox to tie the major league record. 2009, the Cowboys practice bubble collapsed during a storm, during practice, in fact. At the time, 27 players were working out. Almost all were drafted the weekend before and signed, and also signed as undrafted rookies. 12 people were hurt in that incident. That was ugly and awful. As all this day in sports history. Don't forget play-by-play call of the day coming up and our Sports Bozo an hour from now, all on the show today. We'll be out at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Great to be with you, by the way. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll be able to see that Kia dealership right from the Country Club on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. All right, let's go to Dick in Milton. Hola, buenos dias.
Hey. One real quick. One reason that ESPN does a real cartwheels for a complete game today because very few starting pitchers ever finish a game.
I know.
As opposed to years ago when there weren't $1 million relief pitchers sitting in the bullpen waiting to throw 4 or 5 pitches. So
interesting. I mean, baseball and football are now the same. Baseball and football have now become specialty sports. I mean, football is a game of sub-packages now on both sides of the ball. And in baseball, you can get 6 innings out of a starting pitcher. Well, he's going to get $17 million a year.
Yeah, Well, realistically, there just weren't those kind of guys coming in out of the bullpen as there are today. So if a guy makes a couple bad pitches, or even if he's throwing in the ninth inning and lets one guy get on, there's a chance he's not sticking around for the last two or three batters. That's just the way it's going to be anymore. So complete games are not, you know, I don't know what the percentage is compared to years and years ago, but it's, I mean, I think years ago, a guy might even throw a doubleheader almost. I might be stretching that a little bit.
Actually, you're not. Remember Wilbur Wood, who was the knuckleballer for the White Sox?
He played for various teams. I think he might have played for the Orioles for a little while, but he actually only threw about 38 miles an hour.
Right, but you know what? He started both ends of a doubleheader.
Yeah.
So that was 40 years ago?
Right, yeah. Yeah, there were more knuckleball pitchers for a while. I mean, I don't know the percentage, but there were a bunch of those guys, and they would last forever because they didn't need Tommy John surgery very often. I know that. They didn't throw their arms out.
You had Hoyt Wilhelm, Charlie Huff, Wilbur Wood. Yeah. I mean, had Bert Hooten threw that knuckle curve. I don't quite know how that worked, but he threw Bert Hooten through a knuckle curve.
Yeah, but I guess my only comment about the whole thing is professional sports are always changing only because of the guys in the bullpen. Baseball, for example, and you're right about others, football. It's just the way it's going to be anymore. Maybe the next movie they'll have somebody come in and shoot fouls for somebody at the end of a ball game because they don't shoot very well. I don't know.
The Clippers want that to be the DeAndre Jordan rule. I'm watching, Dick, the Clippers and Portland the other night, and Jordan went to the free throw line. DeAndre Jordan, not Michael.
I understand that.
And he airballed both free throws, and I turned the TV off. I said, I can't watch this.
It's hard to believe that guys can't make a foul shot. I know you guys were talking about the underhand. I guess you were the underhand foul shot last week. But
yep.
I mean, that's... I mean, I grew up in, when I first started playing high school basketball, the coach wanted us to shoot that way.
Well, remember, it was about a little bit more than a year ago, we had Rick Barry on the show. Great player with the Warriors, and of course, within the ABA with the Oaks, the Nets, Hall of Famer. And Rick Barry was an awesome free throw shooter, and I talked to him when we had him on the show, and I brought up the fact that he shot his free throws underhanded, and he said that's the way he was taught. And he was a 90% guy.
And I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was in high school, but when we would watch the girls practice or go to a game, they only played half-court defense and half-court offense.
Actually, in Iowa, for a long time, that's how they played.
Yeah, well, they played that way when I was growing
up, Iowa high school. Iowa high school hoops. I don't know if they've changed it since, Dick, but I'm going back at least 10 years, and they were still playing that way in Iowa in high school.
I find that hard to believe. The one girl for Bucknell, the one freshman girl this year, Kate Walker, who played five sports in high school and was All-State in basketball and also volleyball, first team, and then was second in the state in tennis, and she ran cross-country, and she also ran three events in the state track meet. I don't think she played that way. I'd be guessing. She's a very good defensive player, and she's also a very good offensive player, so I can't imagine that she only specialized like that. She did specialize in five different sports, though, which is almost unbelievable. That's almost unheard of.
That is unheard of. That's remarkable. It shows you what a great athlete she is.
Well, she was Western Athlete of the Year in Iowa for 2 years in a row. Which is
well, if you do that many... Imagine her parents driving her to all those practices before she had her license.
Well, one of the things about it, I think she only ran cross country her senior year for something else to do. I think that's what I read somewhere. I mean, she's a nice girl. She really is a nice girl, and I'm sure she's a very good athlete, obviously. I think the thing with her is only good girl on one thing, but a girl that played that many sports and now concentrates on basketball, I think her career will just get better and better and better because she's only going to be playing one sport.
Right, and and that's interesting you mentioned that because the one thing that, I'll give you an example, that was big to Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno liked the fact guys played multiple sports, and he always liked to watch a guy play basketball because he wanted to see the footwork and the athleticism they had on a basketball court to then indicate what kind of athlete they could potentially be playing football. Because not every time that you walk in, you're going to be playing the exact same position down the road that you start out at. If you have some semblance of athleticism, it gives you a better chance of succeeding. And obviously, she's done the same thing now, translating it to basketball. I give her a lot of credit.
You remember a few years ago, you'll remember this better than I will because you did the games. You remember when Joe left to his football players come out for the basketball team for 1 year? And I think with him, it was all a thing because they were scholarship football players. So consequently, I'm sure he didn't want him to get injured playing basketball. I think one was from North Carolina for some reason. I just forget. But he had two of his football players that played basketball for 1 year. I'm not sure
In basketball, Joe let David Macklin, right, and of course went to the Colts, Tekus Pettigrew, Sam Crenshaw, and Jordan Norwood.
Right.
We're all allowed to play basketball. So those four guys did. North Carolina in 2001, Ronald Curry, the quarterback, and Julius Peppers both played on the basketball team. And not only that, they started. Curry ended up going to the Raiders. Peppers, of course, long career with the Panthers for the most part. Now, of course, with the Packers. Peppers and Curry both started against Penn State in the 2001 NCAA tournament game that Penn State won down at the Superdome in New Orleans.
Well, the only reason I mention that, because I think I read somewhere that Joe was not, it might have been on like Harrisburg Patriot News at the time. I don't think he was a real big fan of actually letting his kids play. I bet they almost had to beg him to get on that basketball court. I'm just guessing, unlike the wrestler this year.
I don't think he was. But remember, Mike Reed wrestled, Charlie Getty wrestled, Steve
right.
Sefter wrestled.
Only wrestled after they finished football, though.
They'd have to finish the football season first.
Right.
Sefter played outside.
How many years did Sefter actually wrestle?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. He was very good.
But Joe would not release the players to play until after the season was over. Now, that's difficult to do for the players. You know, you're talking about a winter sport because Dick allowed a lot of guys to play baseball. O.J. McDuffie played baseball. Derek Bonner
right.
played baseball. Kajana played baseball. Kajana ran track. Michael Timpson ran track. Yeah, but he also had a lot of guys playing. Mike Gooman pitched on the baseball team. He had a lot of guys that in spring sports where they'd miss spring football or double up on spring football. The problem with the winter sports, it wasn't that Joe had a problem with them playing basketball. You just couldn't play until after they're done with the bowl game because
right.
you're on scholarship to play football, so you had to finish your football commitment, then transition to that sport, and that's what made it difficult for them to play basketball.
Well, I think the other thing that makes it somewhat tough, only because I see it around down there, I think a lot of it has to do there's hardly any sport that is only a seasonal sport anymore. Just about everybody starts when they walk in the door until they walk out the door.
And that's the way it is now virtually everywhere. I mean, that's...
Right. To allow somebody to play on something else.
Yeah, remember, it was the quarterback at Virginia years ago. Doubled up, played basketball. Arch Sleaster actually played basketball at Ohio State.
Well, there's an awful lot of good athletes that play more than one sport in high school, but, you know, not every one of them
exactly.
Division One. I mean, that's just the way it is. You might not like this, but I used to tell when Penn State would struggle with their basketball team, I'd say, they ought to be able to look around campus and find a pickup team that could beat those guys. We'd be up there in a game. Because I think you could almost get a bunch of guys off the basketball team that might beat them, or the volleyball team, because they were taller, usually.
I think that perception's about to change. How about that?
Well, I'm hoping so. If you looked at the size of the basketball team at Penn State and then matched it up against the size of the guys in the volleyball team, a lot of them had bigger, taller kids.
And the NCAA volleyball championships actually are here this week. And they're going to have and you're right, those guys are all 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and they can jump through the ceiling.
And they're very athletic. They'd have to be.
Unbelievable. Unbelievably athletic. Yeah, there have been a couple times where I've looked out there and thought, man, he'd look good in Oh, man, he looked good to power four, wouldn't he? All right.
Well, I'll go back to my original comment about relief pitching in baseball. It's changed the game of that game.
You are right on, spot on. I agree with it. It's all specialty these days.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. See you, Dick. And my Wednesday golf partner is in the studio.
Yeah.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, how are you?
I'm just dandy. How are you?
Doing great. So you're going to join us, huh?
They apparently started scraping the bottom of the golfing barrel and got to me. So,
well,
yeah,
good.
I actually, I left, my parents live at a golf resort and my clubs are at their place. So we're doing some fast scrambling to get my clubs up here by Wednesday morning. But yes, we are on
this
it.
This is terrific. This is
you say that now. We'll see how you feel Wednesday afternoon.
We're just going to have fun. Because Kevin sent me a text this morning, and here's what the text says.
Oh, here we go.
This brother.
What? No, it has nothing to do with Jen. Okay, it has nothing to do with Jen at all.
All right? No, continue. This is your show. Go for it.
Let's see here. No, it's a Franklin text. Sorry about that. Where's Kevin's? It says, do I have anybody lined up that I'm bringing with me? And I said, no, I don't. I said, they've all heard of your reputation and backed out.
Oh, he's not even here and he's getting picked on. Kevin!
But I am actually trying to work to see if I can get number 59 to come with me next year. I'm actually working on that, actually, as we speak for next year.
Cool.
Yeah, this is great. It'll be a lot of fun. Now, I think Drew's going to play. You'll go. And then the Prince of the Chutter will play. You know about the Chutter, correct?
I've heard tell of it.
Yes, it is part chipper, part putter. It's a Chutter. It's illegal in many countries, including Dubai.
Yeah, and I'll just tell you now, you know, I used to use a belly putter, so now all bets are off as to how good or bad my putting will be.
Oh, we have four shots at it. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Fine.
Well, and remember, I get to hit from the ladies' tees, so.
I know. Believe me, we are very happy about that.
Uh-huh. All of a sudden, it's like, ooh, we'll take Jen. As long as I can drive, nobody else cares what else I do, right?
Hey, you'll be terrific. We'll have a lot of, this will be a lot
of
fun.
As long as we have fun.
I'm really thrilled you're going to come out and play a round of golf with us. I think that's going to be tremendous. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm kind of looking forward to it. So, yeah, crack of dawn, Wednesday morning. Woohoo!
Ooh. Excuse me. I have to drive to get there first.
Oh.
So. Nothing like going along 45 where suddenly there's a tractor.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Going around and farm. Going 20 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. I feel your pain.
Let's go to the field. All right. But this will be a lot of fun. It's the 25th annual. It benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We will be the fun team on the course.
Yes, we will. Terrible scores, but we'll have the most fun.
Oh, really? We're just going to put down numbers. Nobody really knows how accurate. We'll go. Okay. That looked like three to me.
Sure, that felt like three. That's great. Let's impugn the integrity of the news director. She can't keep an accurate golf score. No, I ran out of fingers. I got to 10 and I don't know.
I wonder if there is a limit per hole.
I think 10 sounds good. Usually it's 10. After that, they're like, whatever, just pick it up and go home.
Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
Okay.
We'll be fine. I played Saturday with my son, and I did okay. We only played 9 holes. I shot 47. It's like, eh. So I decided to go out and play 18 last night. I shot 82.
Okay, that's just, well, yay. I'm excited that you could shoot 82.
But so was I. I looked it around and I'm thinking, my goodness, maybe the religion thing's working.
Well, I don't know what my excuse is then, but oh well. No, I actually got the one thing I asked for my birthday this year were golf lessons, and I have 6 of them coming up for the summer. So, but
great.
But yeah, none of them are until, you know, well after this Wednesday. So, oh well.
Oh, that's okay.
It'll still be fun regardless.
That's exactly right, and we're there for a great cause. Thank you for doing that, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
That makes me feel a lot better. That's great.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good rest of your show. I'm going off to do your news now.
Thanks, Jen. Can't wait to see you Wednesday. Okay, we will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia, next half hour to talk about the Eagles, the NFL draft, and we're going to get into the success of the Philadelphia Phillies. Phils and Cardinals tonight on WKOK. The Phillies have won six in a row. They're 15-10, playing 600 baseball. Wow. And we'll talk to Matt Leon about the Eagles and the Phillies next half hour. We're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK from the Sunbury Motor Studio.